Jack Mags. Written by Peter Carey and read by Steve Shanahan. It was a Saturday night when the man with the red waistcoat arrived in London. It was, to be precise, 6 o'clock on the 15th of April in the year of 1837 that those hooded eyes looked out the window of the Dover coach and beheld, in the bright aura of gaslight, a golden bull and an overgrown mouth opening to devour him, the sign of his inn, the Golden Ox. The Rocket, as his coach was aptly named, rattled in through the archway to the inn's yard, and the passengers, who had hitherto found the stranger so taciturn, now noted the silver-capped cane which had begun to tap the floor at Westminster Bridge commence a veritable tattoo. He was a tall man in his 40s, so big in the chest and broad in the shoulder that his fellows on the bench seat had felt the strain of his presence. But what his occupation was or what he planned to do in London, they had not the least idea. One privately imagined him a bookmaker, another a gentleman farmer, and a third, seeing the excellent quality of his waistcoat, imagined him an upper servant wearing his master's cast-off clothing. His face did not deny the possibility of any of these occupations. Indeed, he would have been a singular example of any one of them. His brows pushed down hard upon the eyes, and his cheeks shone as if life had scrubbed at him and rubbed until the very bones beneath his flesh had been burnished in the process. His nose was large, hawkish and high-bridged. His eyes were dark, inquiring, and yet there was a bruised, even belligerent quality which had kept his fellow passengers at their distance all through that long journey up from Dover. No sooner had they heard the coachman's whoop than he had the door open and was out into the night without having said a single word. The first of the passengers to alight after him saw the stranger take the porter, a famously insolent individual, firmly by the shoulder blade. He had held him there for a good moment, and it was obvious from the look which appeared on that sandy-haired individual's face that he held him very hard indeed.
"Now pay attention to me, Sir Reverence."
The porter was roughly escorted to the side of the coach.
"You comprenez-vous?"
The stranger pointed with his cane to a large trunk on the roof.
"The blue item, if it would not inconvenience your lordship."
The porter made it clear that it would not inconvenience him in the least. Then some money changed hands, and the man with the red waistcoat set off into the night, his cane tapping on the cobblestones, and straight up into the Haymarket, his chin up and the orbs of his eyes everywhere reflecting an unearthly flare and glare. This light had shone all the way from the Elephant and Castle, gaslight, blazing and streaming like great torches. Sausages illuminated, fish and ice gleaming, chemist shops aglow like caves with their variegated vases illuminated from within. The city had become a fairground, and as the coach crossed the river at Westminster, the stranger saw that even the bridges of the Thames were illuminated. The entire Haymarket was like a grand ball. Not just the gas, the music, the dense, tight crowds. A man from the last century would not have recognized it. A man from even 15 years before would have been confused. Dram shops had become gin palaces with their high, great plate glass windows, their engraved messages. Gin at threepence, generous wines, hot spiced. This one here, it was like a temple, damned if it was not. The door surrounded by stained panes of rich dye, rosettes, bunches of grapes. The big man pushed his way up to the bar and got himself a dram of brandy, which he drank in a gulp. When he turned, his face revealed a momentary confusion.